times like this, when the truth of God's word is being substituted by the traditions of men, Desire of Nations Missions presents Young Preachers Conference 2017, Team Battle for the Truth. It is our desire that you are blessed as you listen.
Young Preachers Conference. And particularly, I'm in love with the team, Battle for the Truth. Thank God for Tayo and the vision to put this conference together. To build it, and we give God glory for the sacrifices and obedience to God that's culminated in into this. So you're all welcome in Jesus' name. I love the word battle for truth, because this is what is real. When God called me to ministry, He made it clear to me that what I've been telling people is truth. Bringing out refined truth. Something years ago is already written in their books. So that's why we are particular about truth. Because and the team, battle for truth, is very central. Battle for truth, very central in this generation. In more generation, it's central, but in more conscience, even in where we are now. Because the truth is that we need to battle for the truth. The truth is that the perversion in the land is becoming unbearable. The truth is that a lot of things have been mixed up that many do not sometimes understand. They are left from their right. And if the younger people that are coming up are not well schooled and they understand certain things critically, then the future generation are in trouble. Anytime I go and I see some other younger people that are coming up and I see their level of ignorance about certain things, I marvel, and it's very painful. Now we must understand that there is no any other gospel other than the one that we have been taught. Are you hearing me? It was Oswald Chambers, that great man of God. He said we do not need a new gospel, but we need the same old gospel to be preached in times that have been with our current times. So the man of God must master the original truth, then convey it in a way that will speak to our current times. We need to wake up in all fronts. Why are we battling for the truth? Because something is happening. The devil will do anything to cover the truth. Are you hearing me? He will do anything. Some people don't know that a devil can give you a fine guy that will help him suppress a particular truth he doesn't want you to see. He can use that and cover it up. One way to deal with demons, one way to enthrone the church, one way to glorify God, is to uphold certain sacred truths that God has given us. And the devil, in his shenanigans, in his way of oppression, has systematically degraded some truths and made certain people not to see it properly again. And it has affected them. He has degraded it. Just yesterday, one of our pastors in our church in Kogi called me and told me about someone. Now, this man of God, I'll start with him, then I'll say what I would want to charge you with a little bit. I got to know him about 4 years ago. He's a young man coming up, but at least he has started a church. So he's a founder. He came to me in that program and said, "I want to submit to me and whatever." I said, "It's okay." Now, when I started interacting with him, I discovered something about him. He does not like the truth. He will not walk in the truth. I was talking to him at that early time. I told him that he started a church. Now, that church, he has never put it together. He just, one other place that is about 20 minutes drive in another town. He went there and said he's starting another walk again. I told nothing to do. You are still going there. He taught you what I said and continue what I was doing. Because there's something he's looking for other than what Jesus Christ is looking for. You live the truth. When you are looking for what God is not intending to give you. Or maybe he wants to give it to you later on. That's the truth. I saw almost everything I told him. You could see him touching it. I traveled to that territory to preach. He came to Otero one time. I told him, this and that you should do and do. I look at him, see the way there's somebody that says running ministry, but will not take time to respect the Holy Ghost and allow God to control his life. I looked at him. Sometimes one of the trouble he went into, I went ahead and even prepared his net. I paid it one time, put him through. But with time, when I saw the way he is, I had to start dodging. But we have to avoid them. So I left him alone. He hardly calls. I hardly communicate for a long time. Occasionally he will call. But gradually I know he's not ready for truth. So I was called yesterday. Before that call, I remember one time I was so upset. One time he said he wanted a car. He was so serious about having a car. Having a car is good, but what is more important? What of the work you're asked to do? To him, having a car is more important than the work. You know, there are preachers today that the money they are looking for is not because just because you love Jesus and want to advance his work. It's for something else. You are using the name of God to cover up. He wanted a car by all means, telling me how I could help him get a car. I said, if I get money, I'll contribute, or I'll do whatever. I saw the way he was going his life, carrying about. I can't give all the detail. But he called me yesterday and told me he has died finally. Died. Now, how did he die? That same place he said he wants to establish work. That I warned him, leave this thing. He was on the road going there and he died on the road. Died on the road. I have to call the left to die, call the wife. I felt bad. He died on the road. He died. He's gone for good. When I called his line, it was his wife that picked it. And she told me it's true. Funny enough, he died 2 months ago. I didn't even know. I just knew yesterday. One, told the truth. You see why we are battling for the truth? Because the truth is that if you don't face the truth, you are already in ruins. Are you hearing me? The church, we are told, is the ground and pillar of truth. We should teach the world what is right. We are said we are the light of the world. The world, whether we like it or not, cannot see Jesus. It is through us Jesus is seen. So, misrepresenting Christ in any way becomes dangerous. Are you hearing me? He lost his life. So many too have lost their lives because they will not follow truth. We are here to battle for the truth. I want to believe that you love the truth. If you love the truth, can you raise up your hand? See, don't be among those. It's not that we take time or don't hit some things. Don't be together with those who make this statement that the truth is bitter. I'm not saying it's not a fact. It's a fact that the truth is bitter. But tell yourself that the truth is sweet. Why should the truth be bitter to a man who intends to follow Jesus? Why would telling him the truth be bitter? Bible said, rebuke a wise man and he will be wiser. Is it not? A word. Give him a word, he'll be wiser. So if you rebuke him, you project the truth, he will follow the truth. So we must wake up and embrace the truth in its totality. Now, in this short chat I'll give you, I'll call it redefining some critical, vital truth. I'll just take a few of them, just to charge us. Redefining some critical, vital truth. Because when we project the truth and do it the way it should be, then we save this generation. And the sad part of it, Why do we even need to battle for the truth? It just goes to say, sorry to say, I'm sorry about that. Some preachers are perverting the truth. If those that are peddlers, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:1-2, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. We are serving it to humanity. If those that are serving this mystery to humanity are now serving polluted mysteries, they are defiling God's altar and temple, then that's why we need to start fighting and battling, because the truth is not projected well. It's not properly projected. When we begin to project the truth in the way it should be, then we serve the church. We preserve the kingdom of God. And the name of God will now go around the earth. We can now win the world over. I'm getting fed up with people complaining that the church is becoming worldly. And in another way, flip side, the world is becoming churchy. So, reality is that we must wake up as stewards to project what is right. To say it the way it is. I have discovered that nothing here is like the truth. The more you face the truth, the better for you. If we don't face the truth the way it is, then we come to ruin. The work of God we say we are doing, this young conference, I'm sure you are going to hear a lot of hot things. The work of God you say you are doing, if God is not the one in it and regulating it, look at this man of God I told you about. I like calling son because he never submitted as a son. I've never had any spiritual son in ministry like that. Not one. I've been doing public preaching at least 25 years. Not one. Not one. So he did it. He was playing pranks. Playing pranks. Until he died. The same guy was pursuing what he died inside. And he died on the same road where he was going against the pattern of God. So those spirits ended his life. They wouldn't have gotten him. He said, because before I was afflicted, I went astray. The reality is that we must wake up and see the truth. And that's why we must reopen the Bible again and dig this Bible properly. Because that's the book of truth. Now, redefine it. Let's look at some of those truths. You know, what is the truth? Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Is it not? Truth is that thing that is in conformity with God. It could be a statement. It could be an act that agrees with God. Agrees with God and what God represents. That is truth. That's why Jesus say he's the one that embodies truth. Whatever contradicts God certainly is not the truth. Certainly is not the truth. Whatever is against God and what he represents is not the truth. So as young preachers, there are certain truths you must be told, and you must understand it well and project it and live by it. And God is going to help us. As we just hear, many things will be said today, tomorrow, I'm sure next, continuously. You know, by the time we are done with this conference, your eyes will be clear more on certain things. So anything that disagrees with God is obviously not the truth. Anything that disagrees with what God is saying is not the truth. When the devil told Eve, eat, when God did not say eat, that is not the truth. That's not the truth, it's a lie. Once it deviates from God, it's not the truth. If God did not say, plant this church, and you start the church, you have deviated from God. You have deviated from Him. Some people are struggling to make God endorse what He did not initiate. They are forcing God. Some preachers are into that kind of ministry. Forcing God to endorse what he did not initiate. God will never endorse what he did not initiate. You may push him and push him until he becomes quiet, but he will not endorse what he did not initiate. If he did not initiate it, he cannot endorse it. We can bamboozle people. We can deceive them. We can derail them. They will never endorse what he did not initiate. He can never endorse what he did not initiate. But many people are about doing what God never said they should do. A lot of self have entered the work of God. So much of self. It has entered into a point. The man is now doing things for his self's sake. Not necessarily for the sake of the Lamb of God. If Jesus is your, if he's your motivation for ministry, if he's the reason why you want to do the things you do for God, then let's settle down and do it his own way. Now there are some truths I want to define. I'll just highlight about five of them before we close. I'll highlight about five of them before we close. Are you following me? Now, the first one I want to push out. Laying down all. I'll just project five of them this night and we are done. These truths need to be drawn into the heart of everybody that will want to preach the gospel. Anybody that want to lead. Many people are more conscious in rushing to theological school or getting a collar. But some of these things are not done well. Jesus never taught too much on theological school. Neither did he teach you much about collar. Neither did he teach us much about titles. That was not his emphasis. When you hold the truth, you may have additional things to spice up. Is it not? It's just like a lady that has a lot of good character is correct. And now wear good clothes. Now come out. Then all those other dressing has meaning. But if she's internally polluted, everything about her is wrong. All we are used to is just she dresses well. No, this is a cosmetic generation. Physical surface thing without reality. Dresses, cosmetics, pretty physical. Does that make her correct? Let's remove all those things outside and look deep into who we're dealing with. Are you following me? So, you must grab the truth and grab it well. Laying down all. Anybody that must preach this gospel, not just preach this gospel alone, anyone that want to follow Jesus must lay down all. Some people make it look as if it's just a preacher. Don't worry, I'll explain what I mean. It's just maybe the preacher. Do you know that this minimum standard, some preachers have not even fulfilled it. Let alone members and followers. If you cannot lay down all for Christ, you are not worthy to preach for him. You see, you know what we are doing to ourselves? They say this is a standard. If people, maybe some of us work in bank now, but some of them in bank. If they want to take interview on workers, they raise a standard on what they want when they are taking those interviews. If you are not qualified, they won't take you. That's why you can see six vacancies, 1,000 people come or 200 come. They will narrow it down and take the 61. But the way we are operating, maybe because they thought Jesus has gone away. Anybody who don't meet this requirement is still preaching. We don't meet the standard, but we carry the microphone. So we end up ruining people's lives. A man who cannot lay down all is not supposed to be preaching. This young man I gave example, obviously has not laid down all. He looked like somebody that had laid down the way he was apparently doing. He has not dropped self-life and so on. What do I mean by lay down on? Let's read. Maybe let's start with Luke 14:33. That's basic scripture. Basic scripture. Because laying down all is critical. Because if you start with truth, you can build along the line of truth. Many people don't start with truth. Okay, some people you say, they started with the truth. But they make mistake along the line. There's a reason for that. Luke 14:33. Likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Did Jesus Christ compromise what he was saying? I think it's high time we took what Jesus said seriously. Are you following me? In this conference, we'll tell you the truth. Is it not battle for the truth? He didn't say me. He didn't put it that, guess what? Cannot be my disciple. Okay. Suffice it to say that anybody who did not forsake all and still say his disciple is not actually the disciple the way Jesus meant. Now, somebody say forsake all. Or maybe you may misunderstand that word. Some translation can say renounce all. Renounce. To relinquish claim to ownership. Are you following me? To relinquish claim. It doesn't mean that a man has 5 houses. Once he gives his life to Christ, he must go and dash everybody in that house and start following Christ. That may not strictly mean what he means. Even if he gives his life to Christ and wants to be a disciple, that 5 houses, he may still return the document. But one thing he must do is to hand over that document to Jesus Christ and tell him, even if this house still bear my name, it's not your own. Do you understand? So that in case Jesus demands for one of the houses, you give it to him freely. See, this act of practically renouncing all is one of the truths this generation has thrown away. So people are carrying packages and thinking they are following God well. Maybe they live as a missionary, the one that leave everything, go to a village and go and stay. Cannot be my disciple. Many people have not and cannot renounce all. That you cannot renounce all means you have disqualified yourself. It doesn't mean you are not still there. Cannot renounce all means you have broken the first principle. So understand it well. Have you not seen some people? That's why goodness, we are getting wealthier. More afraid of the world that is coming in. I hope you know everything in Jesus Christ's own. The day he demanded, will you give it to him? You still retell it. You think you own. If God owns you, you will discover you don't own anything. Even if those things look like your own, you are only holding them for Christ. As soon as you give your life to Christ and he takes ownership of everything you have. Now you must live in a way that suggests that it's God that owns everything. That's the truth. He that cannot. So let it be clear to us that one of the truths that need to be brought out is that people need to thoroughly, properly, and totally renounce all. If this foundation is properly laid, then the power to serve God will be released. The power to be a thorough disciple, following Jesus Christ, you are now ready for all truths to be built on top of this truth. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. Is it not clear? Take up his cross. That's the first requirement. This generation teach New Testament in a perverted way. They say Christ in you. Great, that's in the covenant. But I keep telling people, Christ in you is not the end of the message. So we build ministries that have to do it. Christ in you ministry, let it be God, life is in you. That is not news again. We need to go further. This Christ in you, he must live through you. Christ in you is so cheap. Surrender. By faith, Jesus has paid the price, he enters. But to live through you, it will cost you. That's discipleship. Actually, every Christian should look like Jesus Christ. Do you meet an unbeliever and tell him in Christ Jesus I'm exalted in high place? Does he know what you are saying? That's not how the Christianity is, even in the New Covenant. You demonstrate Christ to him. Paul told Timothy, charge the elderly women that they may be full of good works. That is what they use to advertise Christ, their lifestyle. Living like him. Are you following me? renouncing on Matthew 13:44. Let's read that verse. Just use a little time. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man in a unto treasure hid in a field, which a man had found, he hided. And for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had, and buyeth the field. What is the cost of the kingdom? Did he not say all? The psalmist said, who do I have on earth but thee? In heaven but thee? All and buy it. Many never brought in all. They never brought in all. That is why the kingdom is not reflecting in them well. They are looking for other things apart from what God has kept for them. And they didn't meet the standard. Selling all, and you still flow in the kingdom. So I want to emphasize, have you truly laid down all? Have you relinquished claim on your life and everything you own? A woman came to a man of God and said, yes, I'm in control. I mean, anything God wants. The man of God told her, this is your daughter. God wants her for missions. The woman said, no, I want my daughter to stay with me. You see, that's a lie many are living with. People tell me anything God tell me to do, I will do. You will not do it. The little he told you to do, have you done it? You relinquish claim on everything. The cost of the kingdom is all. If it is not all, then it is not at all. One thing about Jesus, the way he preached the truth, there is no midway. You can call him extremist. He doesn't give room for dilly-dally. All or none. He's an all or none law. May God give you understanding in Jesus' name. So that you will not just know that these things exist, but you live them. I want to advise you, forsake all. Renounce all. What is it? I told one brother, one of our brother in those days, anything that has to do with money, his eyes just turn red. You are tied to money. You are tied to money. Eyes just turn red. That means there's something in him that's not renounced love for money. That is not to say money is not needed or that God will not prosper us. No. When you go through the crisis of renouncing all, you would have seen that you have embraced the truth in its totality. May God help us in Jesus' name. Renouncing all. So we must understand it well. God said to me as I got the next point quickly so that I'll run fast and stop. Anyone that is preaching the gospel, it has not cost him anything. He said, wake up, put it to me one time. He's not really getting it right. To preach this gospel well and have impact, it must come at a cost. It must come at a cost. And we must understand it well. God is going to give us understanding in Jesus' name. Now, so, let it be clear. We must lay down all. As we do it, then, we are settling down. So, gospel that does not allow people to lay down all is a very funny gospel. And they carry such things into marriage. That's why marriages are breaking down. When a woman tells a man, I want to be your husband, God expects us to surrender what? Is it not all? It's the same pattern. That's why the woman is told, obey your husband as unto the Lord in what? All things. Many are in marriage who cannot stand that. And of course, the man too may not be able to love as Christ loved the church. So, this all principle is a hard truth that many people are running away from. The woman of God and her husband divorced in America, great preacher, you only see on television. They will tell you, hold on, hold on. But when it was time, they could not hold on. They couldn't hold on. When we study one or two things about our life, her husband is a pastor. She's living her own life, her husband is doing her own. Our finance is under our control. Your husband, you are a preacher, you are not demonstrating what you are doing. So Satan ended the marriage. How that she has remarried now? That's the third husband. Is he not? That's a preacher that is always on television shouting. It's not about coming on television. It's about embracing the truth. It's about living up the truth. The next point is simple. Be an example. Being an example. Now, this is another truth I want to project as we continue. Preaching what you cannot demonstrate in your lifestyle is synonymous with blaspheming God. Preaching what you are not living or demonstrating in lifestyle is near blasphemy. Nothing. One of the things that is organized, preaching what you are not demonstrating in lifestyle is close to blasphemy. Preaching one thing and doing another thing is the ruin of many. That means what you can preach is actually what you have lived. Not necessarily the way you are browsing the net. Because if your preaching is as fast as the way you are browsing the net, you end up saying many things you are not living by, thereby condemning yourself. I'm trying to go in the spirit of this conference, because that's what it's about, battling for the truth. Being an example, listen to me, you must lead by example. Some parents are correcting their children and have not been able to lead by example. We know parents that lie and are preaching children to tell the truth. I don't educate my biological son or children. I don't tell them, pray. I demonstrate prayer to them. I don't just tell them love, they see me loving. I don't just tell them read Bible, they see the way I read Bible. Their children department, all the things they do in that department, I sat down and wrote a year curriculum for them under inspiration. And they are teaching them all the memory verse that me myself have learned. They are grooming them in that direction. I demonstrated to them one of the truths that we have not brought out clearly. One of the truths is that a preacher must lead by example. You need to see the mess going on. While I was trying to bring them out, there is no end to it. The level to which we have messed God up in saying things we are not doing, in projecting things we are living against, has destabilized the configuration of the church in the whole world. A preacher, more than anybody, must demonstrate. For example, you have not laid down all. You have broken the law. Why should you even take microphone? Why? That's why some things happen to people. Some Christians just die together with unbelievers. No difference. No difference. And then you are making noise in Boko State until Boko Haram took over the whole place. The Christians did not do their work there. We are just clapping hands. So those group of people started festering gradually. They started growing until they became a perennial problem because the church didn't shine as light. So when they became a monster. When God says shine, say let your light so shine. That's practical. Matthew 5:14-16. That they see your good works and glorify God. They didn't do it well. So those monsters rose up. This area where I live, I know the way we have prayed and one or two things we've done. We made an observation when we came together as ministers and saw that a lot of crisis in the northeast was skips area. Because some things were done in that city. Well, you know, we have to read that 1 Timothy 4:12. Let's just look at it. Popular verse. 1 Timothy 4:12. What does it say? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou and what? I'm sure it's a verse that in our churches we have read over and over in many ways. Be thou an example. That is the instruction. That's the spirit of truth speaking through Apostle Paul. Be thou an example. A preacher should set to be an example before he set to preach. Before he set to teach, he should first, his first vision is to be an example. Then the second thing is to now start preaching to people. If you reverse it, it is like putting the cart before the horse. And that's where the error begins. Be thou an example. Okay, like we're going to come back to this verse. Flip to Ezra 7:10. Ezra 7:10. Flip to Ezra 7:10. The preacher should set his heart to first of all demonstrate the Bible before he preaches it. See, when you have that mindset, life is organized. So that if you cannot successfully demonstrate it, you have nothing to preach. See, this young generation, as you're coming up, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. I told people in our conference, in our retreat, how we had bomb explosion in Zaria 2012. When Boko Haram was mad, they finally entered Zaria. That came two bomb explosion in two churches, but they couldn't enter Zaria, it was from outside. One, all the cars, has got bumped. But God saved them. The other one too. We did it. Some who lost their life at the gate, who held them before the bomb went off. One other church, near that church, where there was explosion, far from the church, actually the bomb is a terrible thing. When it explodes, if you know the distance you get, the preacher was just preaching. Hallelujah, amen. As soon as he had the explosion, he's not in his church. And many churches are in that part. He just reflex took the microphone and took it into the congregation. If you see the way he dived out of the window, if you see the way the man left the sheep, check the standard of the Bible. Any shepherd that run away and leave his sheep is a fake man. Go and check the standard. You see truth. We must project it. Any shepherd, my friend, I have a friend who they were having a meeting and police came and wanted to shoot one of the members. He just covered him. Stood like this. With God. No. Shoot them. While another wonderful man of God in Zaria in those days, 1987, many years ago, 30 years, when we had the major crisis there, when they bought all our churches, the man was a chaplain, he was a chaplain or so. In charge of Chapel of Redemption, I mean, what's it called there? Chapel of Salvation. He conducted branch of ABU. When these people came to bomb, because they bombed almost all churches inside, except the ones in the barrack. Now, when they were burning the church, he was not there. Somebody said, thank God, I've escaped. Stand on the hand of the Lord. The man left his house. When he had a church bomb, why? He left his house, drove in his car, and came to the scene where they were burning the church. He came there himself. Then they saw him say, to be one like that, who came as he did the man we are looking for. They chased him. They caught him and stabbed him. They said, if you read this book, change your emotion, who is it? And like, they captured the story in the book. He captured it. Now, they chased him and got him. Stabbed him and said they are done with him. When they left him, he said, rose up. He rose up. He's still alive up to today. He's up to 70, almost 80 years. He's 70 years old. This man left his house. That's the instinct of a real man of God. Went to the place. I'm telling you truth. The truth is that to preach this gospel is more serious than many people are watering it. And as you are rising, if you want to join us, if you want to, get ready. Because if you are not meeting the standard you are preaching, you end up in trouble. You see that? Somebody is not a real doctor. He opens hospital. One day they will catch him. One day they catch him. So if you are not ready to raise the standard, why are you saying you want to represent God? Career is not true. It's not true. Now, look at Ezra. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, is he not? And to what? To do what? And then to teach in Israel's status. He sought the law of the Lord in order to what? Is that not his motivation? Before he now start teaching status in Israel, many preachers, their teaching gift have handed them into trouble because they have idolized it. Is that confusing? No. Even if you have a gift to teach people, if you only enter teaching and you are careful not to be doing what you are saying, they become dangerous. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, that place. 1 Timothy 4:12. Be that an example to believers. He told them exactly. In work, in conversation, his lifestyle, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He said, demonstrate it to them. You are a young man, you're a young preacher. Because this young preacher conference, you're a young preacher. The advice he gave cannot be different from what we tell you today. Demonstrate it practically. I want to ask a question before I move to the next point. To what extent have you demonstrated the gospel for people to see? When last did people see you and call you Jesus? Are you Jesus? You're as kind as Christ. You are making the call Christians, people in the way. They were so different. They are in the way. They know these people belong to a particular sect. Their lifestyle, they had no big Bibles to carry. They cannot read New Testament. I think it took about 100 years before they put it together. They were the people in the way. Now it's different. Paul said, you are our epistles. Known and read by all men. Known and read. Known and read. They lived the life. This generation needed demonstration of godly living. Brutal demonstration of godly living. Emanating from the church of Christ. Not the jingoism and noise coming out. Brutal demonstration of godly living. You live so godly in your compound. Everybody wants to know your God. Everybody wants to know your God. You have demonstrated it. Do you know at this juncture, let me, it's mournful. The level of compromise Christians are giving to now is fearful. There's almost nothing unbelievers do that some Christians don't do. The compromise is so much. I want to preach some young people sometime or to give them on some fellow to the certain things. That's the people we used to cheat in exam. We need to see best Christians. Who's their dominant? Maybe you take answers, receive answers. You need to see them surrender. You need those that are in the world. The compromise is too high. And when we compromise, we lose our power. When you compromise, you lose your power. When you compromise, you lose your voice in the spirit. When you compromise, you can no longer speak for God. You can't speak for God when you compromise. The man who will be a voice for God must be uncompromisingly brutal. You can never make him compromise. He's brutal about it. You cannot speak. You can't speak for him if you toy with compromising. The second scripture I'll read along this line before I read it so that I will die. Now, 2 Corinthians 10, 9 to 11. I have to still read it. 2 Corinthians 9, 10 to 11. Paul wrote letters that were heavy. Those people were saying his letters are weighty. His letters are weighty. Bodily present weak. Look at what he told them. That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. Because they say what he's writing is too hot. But if you see him, he's looking very small. Even these things he's saying, we're not sure whether he's doing them. The next verse. For his letter, they say, are weighty and powerful. but his bodily presence weak and speech contemptible. He looked physically frail. Let's now read his defense. Go further to verse 11. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters. Are you seeing that? What we are in word by letters, what we are teaching, what we are preaching, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. Al-Bata. That means the reason why he wrote the letter is because they are not there. If he comes, look at him, he's demonstrating everything he's saying. That is that verse. Can you say the same of you? That's why a preacher must live straight. Check out a preacher who fornicates. It's difficult to preach against fornication. I've studied them. And when they read fornication, they will just jump in place. Because you know he's guilty of it. There's some hardened one that may even tell it's wrong go. It's wrong go to do this, you know. Those ones are different brand of people. If you don't live here, then they are doing it over there. That's another type of backsliding. They will still be saying it, but some of you run away. If you don't live this Bible well, you can't preach it well. If you don't live it well, you cannot preach it well. You can't preach it well. You can't preach it well. Such will be indeed. Listen to me. Anything you are saying, be doing it all. I don't have time to take you to James where he says, let not many of you be teachers, knowing that you receive greater damnation. So it's very risky to preach. Oh. Are you hearing me? Will we be indeed? Go and practice when nobody knows you. Be a practitioner. Be a practitioner of the word. Walk in the truth even when you are not known. Stand firm. Stand firm when you are not known. When you now start speaking, God can stand by you. Or else, when we pervert it, it will be wrong. So let it be known, we must be example. And as some preachers, even those that have been there for long, they are no longer examples again. Compromise have set in. They are no longer example. So whatever disgracing us in government houses, some are embarrassing the name of God, messing things up. To a preacher, you see, because one man has money, the controlling pastors. You three pastors come to my house today. After that, you other three come in the evening. Then the other one, they say, come tomorrow. Can you imagine? That man is a foolish man. He need a man of God that will take the phone and hit him. He'll punish you, tell him. He'll give you the right. But the man said that when they told him, when he left to come to us, of course, going to us work is to pray and help. He's a leader, he has to go and help. He said, when he went and stood there, and number one, I didn't know the one that invited him, they said that wasting his time. And then they told me, of course, that's Aso Rock, you know, president and all those things. He said, when he saw they were dragging and threatening them immediately, the one that called me here and this. Don't allow him to do what he did, he's already gone. All of them quickly adjusted and allow him to move. Because the man is on his way out. He's not coming there for anything. He just wants to maybe pray and do the service to the nation. I like that. Not the one they will turn you and put you in his pocket. See not? We must lead by example. I like the way he did it. Now, are you following me? So if you are not ready to leave the Bible, don't preach it, leave it alone. Another truth that we must say is that every preacher, every child of God must be spirit controlled. Spirit controlled. The young preacher I told you that died, that I spoke with the wife today, was not spirit controlled. Was not spirit controlled. The spirit in you must control you. He must control you. John 3:8, let's just see it. The spirit in you must control you. The spirit in you must control you. The wind blowing where I listed, the end of the sound thereof. You cannot tell where it's coming, where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the spirit. You can't tell where it's coming. You don't know where it's going. It's a wind that carries you on. I've told people that they're really windy. Can the wind truly blow you? Can the wind carry you where it listed? Oh, the blessedness of being blown where it listed. The wind must carry you. That was Obadiah's confession of Elijah. I don't know where the spirit will carry you to. Are you truly controlled by the spirit? Are you truly somebody with have forgiveness 3 years? God never, if God is controlling you, even if you are hot, it won't take time to release because you have allowed the Holy Ghost to control you. When we are doing the work of God, you'll be doing it under the control of the Spirit. We allow ourselves to be controlled. You can say something now, God said, no, it's wrong, change it. You will change your mind in the next 1 hour. So people don't change their mind. A woman came to me one day. There were 2 men that had that issue. How old she came, that the husband, don't know whether I say he beat her. It's not as if it's a wine beater, a Syrian wine beater, but I don't know what he said the husband did to her. Then she said, she made up her mind that the husband will never touch her, never sleep with her. She said she so decided it that when she went before God, she did something. She said, and God came down and locked her body. It's God that locked her body for years, about 3 years or so. The husband didn't come to her again. God locked her body. God tell her, I'm sure the husband should not touch her. That's what that woman was telling me. You need to see the problem that the devil has put on her neck. God came and locked rebellion. 3 years, he locked the thing. I want her to cut it through this nonsense. Lock. I want this even better. One other woman came and told me that her husband, whether she went to meet him in the bed and she was naked and the man pushed her, I don't know whether he did it deliberately, so she fell. When she stood up, she said she made up her mind that this man is a pastor, will never touch her again. As I when we are talking, the man had not slept touch his wife for 10 years. Then, now she didn't even accuse the man of cheating. That means, in that 10 years, the man did not cheat on her. Yet, he can't touch her for 10 years. Then, I looked at this woman. No wonder your life is like this. You came to me, of course, with that practical. Number one, whatever he said he has done for me, what did he even do to you? What has he done? Forget about it. You know, I'm crying. I told her, I know what we'll do. Let's wake up. One of the first steps you take, practical, go back and sleep with him. She said, do what? She said, let me know how to do what. And I said, what all these children you have? Go back. She cried that day and went and did as I said. As soon as she did it, she got blamed you. She released herself from that bondage. Come and see testimonies following me. Now the truth is that people don't allow themselves to be governed by the Spirit. How do we can stop? They don't allow themselves. To what extent is the Spirit of God ruling you? All these decisions people are making is against the truth. This generation don't teach people that motivational speakers. They will not teach you how to be led by the Holy Ghost. If we are not led by the Holy Ghost, we are not Christians again. So, allow the Spirit to genuinely control you. And that control must be total. Why are homes breaking down? Because people are not controlled by the Spirit. It's easy to be a beautiful woman physically. After all, beauty, you may have inherited it from your parents. It's easy to dress fine. But to be controlled by the Holy Ghost, it will cost you something. That's why you don't bite in the mouth. truth is the truth, and we must emphasize it. Let's read this verse in Ezekiel before I quickly go to this point. Ezekiel 1:19. Let's just read it. So that at that point, you must be thoroughly controlled. As we are rising up to preach the gospel or to serve God, are you controlled? To what extent is God controlling you? To what extent? Ezekiel 1:19. When the living creature went, the wheel went by them. When the living creature were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up with them. It's not easy to understand the emphasis of scripture, but no one will read further. The creature went, the wheel went with them. The creature were lifted up, the wheel left. Okay, let's read the next verse. Let's read the next verse. Whithersoever the spirit was to go. I like that. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Peter was there, spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheel. It was in the wheel. It was captured as a wheel, something that goes round. It's not easy to capture those vision. But the spirit was in that wheel. Anywhere the spirit goes, the creature goes, and the wheel follows. Why? He said the spirit was in that wheel. You see, this is a picture that paints. There are many things you learn from it, among which is our relationship with God. When the spirit is acting differently from the wheel, the katakata has started. The spirit was in the wheel. I will not drive this thing further. I want to charge you. Be genuinely led by the Holy Ghost. Be truly controlled by Him. This truth must be stressed. People come to me every day. I tell them, are you ready to follow what the Holy Ghost is saying? This preacher that died never followed it. One day, this thing you want to go and do is wrong. Whatever, he omitted it, jumped it. Doing things his own way. He was going on the road to go to the same place I want him, and that was where he ended his life. That's when he asked the wife, what about the church? He said, I have one brother. We are the one trying now. It's a church that's barely starting. I wonder what she'll be able to do because of the foolishness of her husband. Because of the nonsensical, his refusal to walk in the truth. I want to charge you. Are you spirit controlled or self controlled? I tell people, for those who are old, I know that many people have different temperaments. I'm not arguing melancholy, sanguine, phlegmatic, choleric, and so on. Somebody said one day, say, all prophets are choleric. So if you want to study prophets in the Bible, you are studying them from temperament angle. Those prophets simply delivered the message that God was giving them. They were all faithful to what God was saying. That's what they are. Before you assign temperament to them. Are you hearing me? So whatever temperament you belong, already they make up their mind instead of people stone, they want a thing, whatever your temperament is, I don't care. You must bear the fruit of the Spirit. Is it not? Galatians 5:23, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, self-control. Nine of them. Any temperament you are inside, bear those fruit. Don't be confusing them with your temperament. The Bible says, he that multitude of words, you are wanted not sin. He said, for me, I'm a sanguine, that's why I have multitude of words. The Bible says, multitude of words, you are wanted not sin. That your sanguine need to be attacked and redefined. Because it's contradicting the Bible. It must be modified. Even if you must talk, make sense. Like my mother. The mother said, let it not just be that you stop talking, but let it be a thing that will help people. And that's what is helping from the creole. I follow him, so don't confuse us. If Jesus didn't emphasize it, we will not emphasize it. I'm not saying that we will not bring it out. Because personalities can differ. But let me tell you, you must bear the fruit of the Spirit. Let it be very clear. So let the Spirit control us totally. And we will know we are walking in truth. Second to the last point. So that we understand this stage well. Absolute purity. People don't like purity. One of us in two or three last radio message, I had to teach on purity in the radio. Purity! Before we stop, a man of God growing up that does not walk in purity in his totality, listen to me, is deluding himself. One thing we have, the world can never have, is purity. That one is clear. No religion can cleanse anyone. Islam cannot claim purity. See, when the church lost purity, she lost many things together with it. Purity, absolute purity. All these little deaths here and there is not a visage in the Bible. When preachers stop living clean, we pollute the church. To correct one pastor, you need to talk with the lady that is the member by the time the church has slept with her. You can change, you can mind though. You move trousers to a sheep. You are the shepherd. Then you are trying to enter her. After that, you take microphone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Such. See, every time you're a preacher, you need to be dealt with. You need to be dealt with. Because we are destroying the people Jesus died for. Purity. You must be up here, completely pure. Let's not preach anything outside that. Absolute purity. 2 Corinthians 7:1, at least I will capture it. 2 Corinthians 7:1, capture it well. Having therefore this promise in dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, and the Spirit perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know this scripture, have you walked by them? All filthiness of the flesh and the Spirit. All. God envisage a generation that is absolutely pure. I've discovered the antics of the devil is to bring one stain on the other. One of our spiritual leaders those days in the late 80s was telling us, I had a vision. Jesus showed him his garment stained. It doesn't appear like that physically, but that stain was impurity. Impurity of greed, impurity of covetousness, impurity of lying or misrepresenting fact, impurity of, you can keep counting the brand of wrong thing that crept into the church. I want to advise you, settle down with purity. The first revelation of God God showed me is that God is a holy God. That's the first revelation. That's the first revelation. The angel that saw him said, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of his glory. He's a thrice holy God. Isaiah 6, even the book of Revelation. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. So the reality is that purity must be total. I'm telling you, Jesus has died enough to clean us completely. So you look into your life. And don't hide anything. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He that covereth impurity. Just like Jonah. I taught them somewhere on the Jonah in you. You know what those shipmasters did, those mariners? When they discovered that Jonah was the impurity that was causing those boats to toss up and down, you know what they did? You know, they did not want to cast Jonah into the sea, is it not? They didn't want to. What did they do? Read the Bible, where the Bible said they rode hard to see if they can make the ship reach the shore with Jonah inside that place. They tried. The Bible said they could not. Until they brought Jonah out and threw him into the river, then there was calm. Some people live in purity inside. and they are trying to still see how they can not like that my that young preacher. He hid those impurity and was still trying to preach, still riding his car. Let us do evangelism. He was hiding it on the devil killed him. Now he's not even around to do the evangelism again. The role, the thing that they will follow God's pattern. God's pattern is that Jonah should be thrown into the river. That's God's pattern. They hid it and we are roaring. Please look inward, look into your life. I don't know my soul. Stop blaming people. You are your problem. Clean up. People in church are quiet. Follow them to their house. See the way they live. They get angry. You see them cursing. You see a lot of people proceeding out of their mouth. And here they come and they are clapping. When the church is not pure again, we have ceased to be the church. When the church loses purity from the body of Christ, they return to the body of Satan. That is the truth. The greatest, for one of the foundation of the church is purity, simple and short. When we walk in it, we are walking in reality. Oh my God. So God will help us as we embrace the totality of purity. That is the truth we must battle with in this generation. Because impurity is so much in the high places. I remember the early 80s, my mom went to see one of my father there. When daddy saw the guy was just smoking. Smoking cigarette. He was bold about it. When I was finished, my mom was bold about it. Smoking better. Impurity. Impurity has reduced many people. As you keep growing, such things should not be tolerated. Let it be clear to all that we cannot compromise our purity. We will never compromise it. Are you following me? If I give you the last point so that we start praying. Ecclesiastes 10:1. I think I have to sing it together, but you know, Ecclesiastes 10:1. It's a verse you would have had before, some of you would have had, if not all. Dead fly caused the ointment of the potent youth to send forth a stinking smell. So not a little folly hinders of reputation for wisdom. A little folly. A little impurity can bring your life to a standstill. Some people, it's just unforgiveness. That's all. Their marriage is scattered. The woman will never forgive the man. Their marriage ended. Just one. God told me one can block the hand of God. If you read in James, he said that he that offended in one has offended in all. Maybe we need to read that verse. Just one. See, live that kind of life. Don't come say me. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't do this. But look at greed in your life. One minister, one pastor. When another pastor was, another man of God was complaining. He had a problem with lust. Lusting for women. After we talk about him, the man of God saying, I don't have problem with lust. Okay, good. But we discovered that later on, he had problem with greed. He had a problem with women, but his covetousness, and that has ruined him. It ruined him eventually. So, he that offended one, offending what? Let that be your principle and understand it well. It may not be enough time, but you can see it in James 2:10. You offend in one, you offend in all. Let me just roll it for us. James 2:10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, yes, stumble in one point, he is what? He is guilty of what? Guilty of what? All. Yes, guilty of all. Is it not? You will not be guilty. And lastly, then I will start praying. Power. Everybody say power. Power is a truth we must understand. Because if we go back and get power, the pure power that comes from God. Are you hearing me? One of the reasons why preachers are compromising, when the power is not there, you need to compromise the truth. See that? Yes. John the Baptist, see the way he was offending people. Yet the whole Jerusalem came to him. He had laid hold on power. Luke 24:49. And you shall receive power that the Holy Ghost has come on you. Is it not? No, sorry. Tarry in Jerusalem to endue with power from on high. That's the truth. The truth is that the church must be a church of power. We must walk in authentic power. The power must be real. When we tell people the truth, they are angry sometimes, but they are still around because the power is real. May we walk in authentic power. Jesus never changed his message. He didn't compromise. Yet the whole world trooped after him. Yeah, the multitude, I know some of them multitude had problem, but they came because he had authentic power. Peter said, where do we go to? You have the supply. So to walk in power. One of our other pastors gave me the story. In the territory where he is, I end with this. They were inviting one native doctor to church. The man said, why are you inviting me when all these pastors, I am the one that is empowering them. Can you imagine? They pay tight to me. Tight. The man, people thought he was joking. He called a phone of one popular Pentecostal church. I will call the name of the church. I will tell you the territory. Popular Pentecostal church. And spoke to the man of God. When he called him, the man of God answered, oh, blah, 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 blah. He said, yes. I finished, but the man told him, I finished the things I should do for you. He said, Baba, he was healing him. He said, don't help me, oh. Your balance is 300,000, Baba, don't worry, we'll see. Can you imagine? I used to go and preach in that territory. That native doctor said, pastors are paying tithe to him. And he demonstrated it physically. Call them, you heard him. A man of God, we go to an idiot and say, do something for me. I don't understand the generation. Go, I was, that story is a very annoying story. I almost feel like going to look for that man. No power. Bible men had too much power. This Elijah, I keep talking about, his power was too much. It, walking in power is walking in truth. Stand to your feet. I want to pray. I'm not supposed to take time. Okay. All right, let's pray. I'm just let's pray so that I don't overshoot. I was looking at the time, I was giving about 45 minutes an hour. I think I shoot some 3 minutes over an hour. Now, but I don't want to air too much. So that maybe next time I'll be able to come. Now, let's begin to pray. Let's begin to talk to God. This conference is battle for the truth. Hey, don't worry the way we are trying to come out. We are just starting. It is battle for the truth. We are here to fight. We are here to fight against falsehood. We are here to expound anything that is not consistent with the Bible. We are here in lieu of a new generation of people who are ready to take the gospel to the end of the earth. We are here to bring open up what must be open. Let's pray to God.